Recently in our house, we had a curry powder disaster. A jar fell out of the fridge, not out of the fridge, out of a cupboard in the kitchen, and the curry powder went everywhere. It wasn't really that much of a disaster, actually. It was sorted out quite quickly with the vacuum cleaner. The only slight issue is that now, every time the vacuum cleaner's active, there's a strong scent of curry powder throughout the house. Have you been using the vacuum cleaner? You caught on, right? It's guilty. If there's no smell of curry powder, then you haven't been active with the vacuum cleaner. And as we read this letter that Peter writes, what he's encouraging in the church is to stir up an aroma, to stir up with one another a sense that Jesus is present. It's obvious when the vacuum cleaner's been active. It's obvious what's in the bag. And in all our activity of the church, we should be stirring up in one another and stirring up in the culture, stirring up in the atmosphere that Jesus is present among us. We should get in the nostrils of one another the grace that we've experienced as a group of believers. There should be a consciousness in the atmosphere that there's no love like the love we've received in Jesus Christ. Peter says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. We've been on the receiving end of unbelievable love, of unbelievable hospitality. We've been welcomed by Jesus like we've never been welcomed by anybody else. We've received a love that's out of this world, literally. That's the kind of love that we've received. And so as a group of people, as the body of Christ at Carmoney Church, we should be able to love one another with a love that is out of this world, because that's what we've experienced. The care and support and concern that we offer one another should be radically different from the world around us. That's how we should be marked out. That's how we will be distinctive in the world. That here in the church, we care for one another with a love that is out of this world. That we look out for one another and care for one another. We forget that we've been loved this way by Jesus all the time. And we get into tit for tat and revenge and all sorts of stuff, when actually we have a responsibility to show the mercy, to show the kindness, to show the favor that we've been shown, show it to others, particularly here in the church, to be interested in the lives of one another. Our lives should be a drama that expresses the love we've experienced in Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German theologian and pastor who was assassinated at the end of the Second World War, says this: the goal of Christian community is to meet one another as the bringers of the message of salvation. There should be something about how we interact with one another that we bring the good news of our rescue to one another, that we get a hint or a scent or a whiff of grace as we support and care and love and look out for each other in the church. There should be a whiff of grace in our dealings with each other. Like when my vacuum cleaner is active, I'm reminded of what's inside. When the church is active in all our activity, and we are a busy church, the busyness is not enough. In all our activity, we should be stirring up an aroma and a scent of the care and concern that Jesus Christ has for us. Together we should be experiencing God's love and expressing it. That's what we should be doing. The only reason that Peter can write a letter to tell these churches in Asia Minor about the love that God has for them, the only reason he can write a letter to express about love covering a multitude of sins, he can only express that in words or express it in a letter because it's his personal experience. Peter was a terrible friend to Jesus. He was a hopeless friend. He fell in the water. He fell all over the place. His life was just falling. He failed to believe the promises of God. He tried to stand in the way of the purpose of Jesus' life. He denied Jesus. He boldly said, see if the rest of these guys run away when things get tough, not me, Jesus. I'll be there at the end. Though none go with me, still I will follow. He made really bold claims, and he was a big shot in front of Jesus when things were good. But when the going got tough, Peter ran for the hills like everybody else. Peter was a disappointment. He was a terrible friend. And after doing all these things on Jesus, after treating Jesus this way, what was Peter's experience? Jesus served him breakfast on the beach, cooked him fish, and said, Peter, you're going to lead the church. You're exactly the kind of guy I need to be involved in this church planting project that's going to reach the whole world. You're going to lead a church that's going to witness 3,000 people come to faith in one day. That's what Jesus says to Peter. He's a terrible friend. He's hopeless. His whole life is just failure after failure after failure, and Jesus continually loves him. Peter repeatedly failed Jesus, and Jesus repeatedly loved Peter. Because Peter was on the end of this relentless, unstoppable, never-ending kind of love, he can say, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. He knew the love of Jesus that covered a multitude of sins. That was his autobiography. And so we can say that to other people. That's what he had experienced himself, the love of Jesus that covered over a multitude of sins. And because that was his example, he could share it. He tasted it from the cup himself. He knew the flavor of grace, and so he could share it with the New Testament church. Isn't that our autobiography too? That love has covered a multitude of sins. And we need to remember that in our interaction with one another, that the love that Jesus has for me has covered a multitude of sins. Now, what about how I treat other people who sin against me? Do I keep casting it up? Do I keep myself at a distance from them? Do I write other people off who are failures? Oh, sure, the last time I asked him to do it, he fell in the water. Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's good news. Good news to the church. Good news if you're a Christian. Good news if you're a disciple. That Jesus' love continues to cover your sin. It wasn't just a prayer you prayed once and that was your sins forgiven up until that point, and now you're a Christian. Well, you better pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep this thing alive. The gospel is good news to Christian people, that love covers a multitude of sins. It's our autobiography. Stop beating yourself up. Christ was beaten up for you. That's the point of the cross. He was your substitute and took your sin to himself. You're free. My chains are gone. Amazing grace that liberates you from the penalty of sin and allows you to stand right with God. It is finished. Let the good news sink in. Let the good news sink in to us as a church. When we repeatedly fail to obey Jesus, he repeatedly loves us. When our hearts were far away, his love went further still. You cannot out-sin the grace of God. It's impossible to out-sin God's love for you. One of the problems of ministry, one of the problems of serving in the church, is that it trains you subtly to think that the problems always arrive at the door of other people. You gradually and subtly begin to think that you're the minister, you're the dispenser of grace, that you're the BB officer, that you're the leader, the youth club leader, or the Sunday school teacher, or whatever kind of ministry it is you're involved in. You subtly think that you're the person who dispenses God's mercy and God's care and God's kindness to other people, to get alongside those who are hurting, to get alongside those who've messed up. And it's a problem in ministry. And maybe you think, well, Why is that a problem? Surely that's what you signed up for when you volunteered in the organization or you took on the role, or that's what the job is. You care for other people. What did you expect? Well, the problem of continually expressing God's love to other people is that you subtly and gradually think that it's everybody else that has the problems. And I just get to share that grace with other people. I get to share God's care with other people. And you get duped into thinking that you're all right and it's everybody else who needs fixed. And this time last year when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, I had absolutely no idea how I was going to cope. I had no clue. It came like a thunderbolt out of nowhere. And I thought, no, this doesn't happen to me. This happens to other people in other people's situations, and I get to pray for them. And I had no framework to deal with this or think, what am I going to do in the middle of this situation or circumstance? And over these last 12 months, I've experienced unbelievable care, unbelievable ministry from other people, support, interest, encouragement, hope, prayer, love. The church has ministered to me. Christian people have gotten alongside me. And over the last year, I've gotten to know Jesus so much better, so much more. Would I have chosen this experience? Never. Do I want it? No. But what I can say that is in the middle of it, I've gotten to know Jesus so much more because I've seen him in the lives of people who have shown his care to me, who have loved me and supported me. And it's been incredible. There's been so much support, so much thoughtfulness. And I never would have experienced it had I shut myself off and said, actually, things are fine and I'm okay and I don't need any help. I desperately need help. And as a result of me being in a position and situation where I've acknowledged my need, I've been able to encounter Jesus in loads of fresh ways. Of course, I never would have chosen it, but I'm grateful for how I've gotten to know Jesus over these last 12 months. Thankfully, Dad's been doing quite good, and there's loads of encouragement. But I still have anxiety, of course I do. I have fear. But people have ministered to me, and it's only as a result of being aware of my own weakness and inability to cope that I've been supported by other people. I'm beginning to realize that I deny other people the opportunity to minister to me when I pretend that everything's okay. I deny myself opportunities to get to know Jesus because I think I'll be my own savior. I'll just rescue myself, thank you very much. I'll look out for myself. I can cope with this by myself. And I push Jesus away. Or actually, when I'm broken and needy, then I open my life to receive him more deeply into the situations and circumstances that I find myself in. Are you a volunteer? Are you a leader? Do you serve in the life of the church? How are you experiencing Jesus? Are you making other people aware that things are not okay, that you need help, that you need a savior? Are you giving people the opportunity to be bringers of the message of salvation? That's been my experience this year. Of course, I need to be more vulnerable. Of course, I need to pretend less. Of course, I still cover up my mistakes and try and appear that I've got it all together. Of course I do. But I'm learning slowly that it's better not to pretend. It's better to be open. It's better to say I'm not okay. Because that's when I experience him. Are you sharing your weaknesses with anybody else? Your vulnerabilities, your failures. Because Peter fell in the water. Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus was well aware of it. And Jesus did not run, but he drew close and cared for him and ministered to him. Church leaders, listen up. Listen up. We become Pharisees when we think that our religious activity eliminates us from any need for God's grace. When we think we've got it sorted, we become Pharisees who think, my religious activity is enough. I don't need Jesus. That's Pharisees. That's what they did. And he spoke the harshest criticism to them. We need God's mercy desperately. I saw this report, you maybe saw it too, in the BBC News, about 1 in 10 young people in Northern Ireland cannot cope with everyday life. It was a report by the Prince's Trust. They had a survey, and it said 1 in 10 young people in Northern Ireland feel they cannot cope with day-to-day life. If I was a teenager, right? If I was a teenager, imagine, right? If I was a teenager, I know what I'd be thinking as I read that report. I wonder, am I the one? I wonder, am I the one in 10? Or if I'm one of the other 9, then I've got loads of pressure to make sure that I am coping. Here's the news. 10 out of 10 young people cannot cope with daily life. 10 out of 10, all people cannot cope with daily life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need compassion and the kindness of a Savior. None of us are getting it done. None of us are making it. None of us are ourselves alone are enough. We need a rescuer. We need a Savior. That's the liberating news of the gospel. Peter experienced acceptance. He experienced it, which is how he was able to express it to others. He messed up time and again, and Jesus loved him time and again. Even though he was fearful and foolish, Jesus loved him. The cross offered him hope, that Jesus took his sin and his mistakes and his mess onto the cross, died to it, and rose again over it. Our prayer ministry team are here every single week, and hundreds of us walk the opposite direction. We come here and say, we want to pray for you. We want to minister Jesus Christ to your needs, to your anxieties, to your fears, and we get up and walk away from it. We walk the opposite direction from Jesus when we say, actually, I'm all right by myself. I don't need prayer. If you're a leader in the life of this congregation, if you volunteer, if you have needs this morning, our prayer ministry team are here, and they'd love to minister Jesus to your deepest needs. Come and experience the forgiveness that is available in Jesus. Come and receive that today after our service. At the very least, you can ask somebody this week, can you pray for me? That's the very least response that you can make to this good news. Offer your weakness, offer your brokenness, and say, I need help. Share that with somebody else, and you will encounter Jesus Christ. By doing this, you're inviting him into your life. You're asking for help. You're saying, I don't have it all sorted, and I need help. Ask someone to pray for you, to experience the love that Jesus has. Not only do we experience Jesus' love, but we got to express it. That's what Peter says. We should share this love with one another. We should offer hospitality to one another, to love one another. This has been lost in translation and become love others. Offer hospitality to others. Show mercy to others. And it makes the responsibility of expressing Jesus' love a ministry of a select few, a select elite who can dispense this grace or dispense the care of God. It's everyone's job. If you've experienced the undeserved, constant, sin-covering love of Jesus, then you have a responsibility to express it to other people. It's not just the job of an elite few. And if you are, Peter says you can speak this, right? You can speak this love, or you can serve in a way that communicates this love. He kind of distinguishes gifting in terms of speaking gifts and serving gifts. And some people say, well, I couldn't speak. I'm not really good at that. Neither was Moses. Peter says, you speak that the words of God, you speak the words of God, and if you serve, then you serve with the strength that God provides. And I couldn't believe it this morning when Thomas was sharing about his experience, saying he thought he was a leader in the Alpha course to go and see amazing things happen in the lives of other people. And I'm thinking, and I thought I made up this sermon. I thought I made up this talk. No, God gave me words. I didn't just sit in my house and think, here's a really good thing to say. And in his mercy, Thomas said those things this morning, and I thought, yeah, God's doing something here. God's at work. He's given me words to say. I didn't dream this up. I didn't think this up. Words were given me. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If he serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. God gives the words to preachers. God gives the strength to servants. This means there's no excuse for any of us to be lazy Christians. For any of us to say, why? I can't do it. I don't have the gifts. Everybody gets gifts and everybody gets support. God fully equips all of us to serve. One of the biggest areas of hurt in the life of our church and in the world that we live in is that people feel ignored, underappreciated, not valued very much, isolated. And if you could give your time to visit someone or volunteer in a ministry of this church, then you're giving your time to listen to somebody else, to maybe to listen to a young person, listen to someone who's housebound and can't get out to church, listen to people on the fringes of our community and on the fringes of our church who feel that they're ignored or isolated. Could you get your bikini out and help with Coast? Right, you go along. I don't think you need to wear a bikini, do you, Rick? No, maybe not. But you could help. Rick's definitely not going to be wearing a bikini. He's promised me. But here's an opportunity to dip your toe in the water and say, I want to serve as part of a team that's, Rick said, we're going to try and attract some people who are on the fringe of church life. Could you give your time and energy to say, I don't know, I haven't done youth work before, but I can make juice, or I can do woodwork, or I can set up the hall, I can sweep the floor, I can be involved in this team in some way, and maybe you'll just listen to another leader who's having a hard time at work or a hard time at home, and you'll just be there to hear what's going on. Or you might get the chance to sit down with a young person and just listen to them, because all the other adults in their life are really busy running and doing lots of other stuff, and you might just give your time to listen to another person. Loads of people feel isolated. Loads of people feel lonely. Could you demonstrate the gospel by saying, my God is a God who hears. My God is a God who listens. My God is a God who knows our words before we even speak them out loud. Do you know why road rage exists? It doesn't exist because you drove out in front of someone on their way to work. That's not why road rage exists. It's because that person feels ignored at home and ignored in the workplace, and you've just highlighted it on their commute. I mean, does anybody see me here? Am I an invisible person? That's why they get so angry when you drive out in front of them. Not because you've just driven out in front of them. Anybody could get over that. But you drive out in front of them as a symptom of their whole lives, and they think, oh my goodness, I am invisible everywhere. Not before God. You're not invisible to him. He sees, he knows the very hairs on your head. You're not invisible. God sees and understands. Could you share that message with someone just by listening? Just by getting alongside another person. Could you volunteer at Mana or gift shop on the Carnmoney Road? Talk to the people who come into that shop. Take an interest in their lives and show that Jesus is interested in them. Could you help out in Boys Brigade or Girls Brigade or Sunday school? Could you be a house visitor, or could you serve at the lunch club? Could you do anything just to get alongside the invisible people of our church? Take an interest in their lives and communicate. God is interested in you. Could you go to a pastorate and pray for another person in your group? Commit to pray for them every day and communicate something of Jesus, who says that he is the one who intercedes. Paul says that he intercedes for us. Jesus is praying for us. We should be praying for other people. We can communicate to isolated people that you are not alone, simply by taking an interest in their lives. We can get the knowledge of God in the nostrils of people whose senses need awakened to his love by the way we care for one another. We can reveal the love that we've experienced ourselves. Really, really simply, could you say to someone this week, how can I pray for you? Can you ask that question as your conversation comes to an end? As you go to head for the car, as you get your coat on, as you leave the office, or as you finish that cup of coffee, can you say to someone, is there something that I can pray for you this week? And then do it. Right there in their company, or when you go home to your house. Communicate something of the love of God. 10 out of 10 people are not coping with daily life. And we need to meet one another as the bringers of salvation and stir up in the nostrils of each other the aroma of Jesus' presence here in Carmony Church. Will you be a part of it?